Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast.
Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is John, and with me as always is the Audrey and Audrey 2 to my Seymour.
I'm gonna motherfucking eat you.
Hey. The sadist and masochist to my florist.
Some people think I'm a dentist.
Snort.
Hello.
Dan.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So, we just got done smoking a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to gather us all around the campfire once again for a nice episode here at Theater Camp.
Wow. I'm so excited.
What do you got for us this week, Camp Counselor John?
So today, you know, we're gonna kind of spookify it a little bit. We're gonna wait till the sun goes down.
Ooh, some ghost stories?
In a sense, it's more of a tale of, I like to call it Attack of the Killer Weeds, just because, you know, we're a weed podcast. But what we're going to be diving into tonight is the Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
Now, obviously, I think we kind of touched on it last episode. This is a classic. If we can say, or should I say, if Snort can proclaim that High School Musical is iconic, then... Little Shop of Horrors is, like, legendary, right?
Yeah, there's iconic, there's got to be, like, at least 15 levels above that, and I don't think there is. So I think you might need to bust iconic down to, like...
No.
Culturally significant.
That's iconic. Best. That is iconic.
No. Iconic, yes, same no. thing as this trilogy bullshit we went no. over last week. You
Fuck
got it's
you.
It's no. certain terms, motherfucker.
Do teenagers still watch High School Musical?
Yes, there's a show on Disney Plus.
But I'm talking like the ones that we watched. Like, not the ones, but the one we watched last week.
Yes.
You can't tell me that more people watch that than revisit The Little Shop of Horrors. Come on.
I'm standing by High School Musical for life.
Mm.
I reject. But on the topic of The Little Shop of Horrors, Dan, obviously I know you love this movie. I know on the other side of the room, Snort... In her initial watch, did not really care for it a whole bunch. And I wanted to dive into that a little bit. Is there a specific reason, Snort, that you weren't into this?
Well, do you guys want to know a secret?
Yeah.
Wow, you were just secret after secret, episode after episode nowadays.
Right? What else has she been hiding from you?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I haven't told any of you guys this, either of you. My one watch that I watched of it, I was sleepy during it. I think I slept through most of it. That's why I only saw like two things of it. But also, I think I fell asleep because I wasn't really digging it.
Okay. First off, okay, let me just say this. Falling asleep to Little Shop of Horrors is a great fucking feeling. I have done it many times. It's very comforting. Like John touched on, I love this movie. But to say you fell asleep because you weren't feeling it, to me, knowing you... just feels like you didn't give it the proper chance, because I think you might have been too sleepy, because this movie is a pure fucking musical. This, if you took musical and like made musical fucking concentrate like orange juice shit, this is what would come out. This is a pure fucking High School Musical. That's a Disney Channel fucking original movie musical. This is art.
Yeah, this honestly, in a sense, comes off as like the most authentic movie version of like a stage play, I feel like. Like, you kind of get immersed in it, in the sets and, you know, the animatronics and things that I wish we still did more of today. Like, you look at the quality of things in this movie, and you look at Audrey 2 and the things
see,
they
I
accomplish.
Don't even, if she fell asleep, she didn't even make it to Audrey 2 and see the beautiful animatronic. It's one of the...
I did see it. But, okay. Hear me out, though. Let me clear the air. I'm not shitting on this movie at all. Like, I'm not shitting on it. Another secret. I have FOMO with this movie. Because, yes, like you said, I feel like this is a movie that I should like. But God, I don't think I will. But I hope today my mind's changed.
Snort, I'm going to make this comparison, and you know I don't make it lightly.
Oh, God.
This, to me, is like slightly diagonal adjacent to Rocky Horror Picture Show. In terms of like the songs, the voices, the sets, the immersion, like John said.
Well, and just like, honestly, the insanity of it all. I mean, the premise of this is a talking plant from outer space coming to try to take over New York City, essentially. Like, that is insane to hear that. But then you watch this and you're like, it works. This is amazing. And I want to live in this environment.
Like I said, I need a second watch.
Well, lucky for you. Here we are gathered, and we're going to do just that tonight. I mean, there's just so many things that should hopefully check the box for you this time around. I mean, the cast is fantastic. Obviously, Rick Moranis is fantastic in the lead here. And what's funny is, I mean, him getting cast in this in the times of the 80s, all of his comedy buddies wanted to hop on the train. I mean, Steve Martin, John Candy shows up, Bill Murray,
mm-hmm.
like the list goes on and on. Like those people aren't necessarily maybe your favorite snort.
See, I think that's the problem is you two are like really big Rick Moranis fans and I'm indifferent.
I wouldn't say really big Rick. I'm not like,
yeah, I don't.
I feel like you guys Rick talk Moranis. About
he's
him
a great
a
man. He's a nice
he's
guy.
Sweet. Yeah, he's very sweet.
Well, you guys already have more opinions about him than I do.
I guess for me, I'm just in a string of, I've just happened to see more and more of his performances like more recently. So I think I'm just like a late Moranis bloomer maybe. Like, I appreciate his work, and the movie I just watched the other night, the Streets of Fire movie, he was in that, and I thought it was, like, his best role that I had ever seen. Like, I just, that soft spot is just beginning to open, and now that we're revisiting The Little Shop of Horrors, I just think, yeah, maybe after tonight I will be on that, like, love level for Moranis. I don't know.
I've always liked Rick Moranis. He was a big part of my childhood growing up. You know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was big back when I was younger. Ghostbusters, all that. I always appreciated Rick Moranis.
Oh,
and
I forgot he's in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Doesn't change my opinion.
Damn it. And you didn't have that Moranis exposure because he left the scene because his wife passed away and was sick. And he went home to take care of his kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice thing.
No, that's... That's like, that's a nice, sad sacrifice.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. Why are you trying to make me out to be the bad guy this episode?
You're just like, that's a nice thing.
I mean, I think that's what anyone would do. I don't know.
I think it's more or less, Snort, that this feels like such a cult classic of a movie. And if you can love something like Rocky Horror Picture Show, why can't you just save a little room for, you know? This whole party of a movie.
Because it's all taken up by Rocky. I don't have any more room.
Okay.
You need to make some room. Some room in the Rocky.
What if I told you the guy who directed this, Frank Oz, voiced Yoda? Does that change anything?
It does not.
Directed this, Yoda did?
But I do think that's surprising. I didn't know he directed movies.
Did you know he also voiced Miss Piggy and was a big part in creating Sesame Street?
Sesame Street, yes. Miss Piggy, no.
Fozzie Bear too, right?
Yeah, that was the next one. Mm-hmm. I was just going down the list. And that's another reason why this movie works so good is because of that Sesame Street background. I mean, that's what I think helps make like Audrey 2 in this such an iconic like movie character.
Yeah, because didn't they work with the Henson Shop to make that?
They did. They a lot of them, honestly. I think even some of his kids ended up in the movie, too.
Huh.
Yeah, look at the fun facts just flying at you, Snort.
They're just facts right now.
Oh, oof.
Bang, bang.
Okay, here. This one, I'll swing a softball your way. Here's a little softball fun fact that you'll probably enjoy the most. Levi Stubbs is the voice of Audrey 2. Levi Stubbs.
I don't know who that is.
He fronts the Four Tops. If I played you some songs, you would know. I promise you.
What? What did you say?
The Four Tops.
Is that a band? I have
Why are we hanging out with these goddamn kids and their high school musicals and their Zac Efrons? We're talking about goddamn fucking Detroit soul right here.
kids and their goddamn fucking Motown.
We're talking Motown.
I'm sorry, I'm not well versed.
Well,
I like movies, not music.
He's in the movie,
obviously.
Well, here, let me finish this fun fact for you. He performed this at the Oscars. One of his songs got nominated at the Oscars. Audrey 2 was in the background.
From this movie?
From this movie. Audrey 2 was on stage, a little costume, dancing around during this. But you know what the song lost to that year? Take My Breath Away from Top Gun.
I mean, it's that.
So there you go.
That's there's, hard to beat.
There's one fun fact for Snort that she'll
I did enjoy that fact.
That one was fun, not just the fact.
Yes, that one was fun. I learned. So can we rewind? Who is this guy that's in this movie? He's in a band?
Levi Stubbs.
Yeah, he's the lead singer of the Four Tops, which is a Motown group. Like the four guys together in the suits, all like harmonizing.
Okay. And he's the main guy of those guys?
They're all kind of the main guys because they're a quartet. But.
I think they tried to make him his own thing, but he wanted to stick with the boys.
And he's an actor also, or he's just in
this
movie?
No, he's just a singer, but he's got a very soulful, like the voice of Audrey too, Levi, is just, it comes out of nowhere and it fucking hits you.
Yeah.
There's something
he's
about it.
He's the voice
it, of Audrey too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not in... He's just the voice.
He's the guy that sings the songs that the Audrey 2 sings.
Okay, I understand now. Look, if I didn't ask for questions, I would have no idea. I would expect to be seeing this man in the movie. Okay.
The whole time she'd been like, "Where's Levi? I don't know who the fuck this guy is, but where the fuck is he? Why has no one said, hey, there's Levi Stubbs?"
If anything else, you learned something tonight, Snort.
You know, Snort, I think you're gonna like it on this watch. Because of your musical love and because you're not sleepy, you're just high this time. But I'm super fucking excited. Like I said, like this morning I was thinking about how much I love this movie and listening to the soundtrack. And in my head, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show comparison came. And then I started thinking, like, what other movies should get the Rocky treatment? Where, like, people go to the midnight show and they dress up and they yell things at the screen at certain times and, like, everybody's there, like, as a group, as a little community.
Man, that's a very, very good question, Dan. If I had to just spit off the top of my head right now in this current moment, I'm weirdly going to go for something more recent. And it's just a soft spot in my heart. But I'm going to go Swiss Army Man. It just feels like one of those midnight types of movies to me. I mean, it sounds bad, but what, you just dress a little homeless, kind of? Like, you're a little dingy, a little beat up?
Everybody's a dead corpse.
I mean,
whoopee cushions on the seats.
A lot of whoopee cushions.
A lot of whoopee cushions.
That's fun.
Pop, popcorn, and pop, popcorn.
Everybody's throwing popcorn in the air.
Yeah.
Everything could be all outfitted like the fucking weird place in the fucking woods with the Christmas lights and all the fucking pulley things.
People can even chant along at times. If you don't know Jurassic Park, you don't know shit. The recipe's there, guys.
I could see it working. I could definitely see it working.
Wow, okay.
Snort, what are you thinking?
Well, guys, get ready, because we're hitting the fucking NOS, and we are doing a Fast and Furious midnight showing. Everyone shows up in their sports cars and stuff. Everyone's dressed up as characters. You watch the movie. You're, like, cheering and stuff. I don't know really what you're yelling, because there's not really songs.
Family!
Yeah, I mean, maybe you do something every time Vin Diesel says family. I don't know. But I think it's a fun thing to show up to.
You take a swing of the Corona every time he says
family. Yeah, I mean, you're having Corona barbecue food. Like, you're having the spread.
I think that's a perfect drive-in movie.
Ooh, yeah,
drive-in
yeah.
midnight fucking Fast and the Furious showings.
So, do I need to, like, rent a sports car to, like, do I have to have a sports car to attend, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, you have to have a sports car to show up.
That's fine. Like I said, I'll rent one. Not a big deal.
Yeah,
I'll ask if they can include the NOS.
Dan, do you have an idea?
Yeah, I think you guys are both actually going to like it. Because I think a perfect midnight showing with costumes and yelling things at the screen and singing with everybody would be Shrek.
Oh, fuck. That is a great one.
On the condition that every single year, somebody kicks the door open in the back of the auditorium at the moment that Shrek fucking does. And that's when everybody just dives into the fucking song.
Wow, that's a fun one.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think before the show, you nominate the Shrek.
Because there's going to be so many. Yeah.
You have a Shrek off, and you nominate the Shrek who's going to be the Shrek of the night.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's so many quotable lines from that movie that you could just be yelling the whole time.
Yeah, and you could make up call and repeats for it very easily.
Yeah.
That is a nice rock. Fuck your rock!
Do you think in today's age it could get like enough traction to like, I don't know, get like Smash Mouth to show up one year? Like as a surprise, like it's the ultimate fucking Shrek-a-thon.
I don't think you'd have a problem getting Smash Mouth to show up anywhere if you get a couple of grand in a hotel room.
Hey now.
They are all stars.
Okay, well, since you have your random tangent question, I have one also that I thought of. Because we're watching Little Shop of Horrors tonight. We love Rocky Horror. If you could have any horror movie turned into a musical, what would it be?
Is this like a stage musical or is this like a film musical?
Either or.
Can you just like pick whichever one you want?
Sure.
Can I have two answers, one for each medium?
Yeah.
That puts a lot of pressure on me. I only have one answer.
Yeah,
one
I don't
medium.
Have that, but...
Do it anyways.
Okay, well, let's go around in circles. Like, film one, I'm going to, like, work on the circle. But the stage one that I was thinking, I mean, it's got to be Saw.
Oh, my God.
With a ventriloquist.
I mean, that would be...
For the puppet.
That'd be brilliant.
Wow.
And I'm a big Saw head, Dan. Okay, so I'll buy the tickets right now. Right fucking now.
See, I think a good stage one would be Halloween. I think just because it's like so condensed, you know, it would work well on stage.
You cannot do a Michael Myers soliloquy. He does not have a voice. You need the villain song.
That makes it better, though.
Does he just stand out there quietly for 3 minutes and look menacingly while the music rises around
him? No, he does like silent interpretation dancing.
Oh, okay. I'm back in. I am back the fuck in. Michael Myers in a black leotard doing interpretive dance
like
for
ballet?
His villain song. Yep, I'm in.
It's like the fucking the spooky video of the guy in like the black leotard and the
yeah,
pumpkin head.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing right now. That's fantastic. I don't know. I think I'm just going to stay weird and go with The Fly. I mean...
For a stage one?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because it's got kind of like that love story intertwined to it. And you can just keep pushing that for the stage version of it. And just imagine, you know, building a fucking... You wouldn't have to make it super gross. But you can make a pretty cool fly costume, I think.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Dan, what's your movie one then?
Well, they did do a stage musical of it, but I would love to see a screen musical of it also. Evil Dead.
They did a stage of Evil Dead?
They did
Dead?
A stage production of Evil Dead. There is an Evil Dead the musical that exists.
Oh,
wow.
Well, that's
I didn't
fun.
Know that. I thought you were going to say Beetlejuice.
No. They are. There is already a movie of that. But
I know, but not the musical, like the stage musical.
Yeah,
turn the stage musical into a movie.
Yeah, everybody loves Beetlejuice. Nobody loves Evil Dead. I would like to see Evil Dead just because I would like to see Bruce Campbell singing one time before he goes away from us.
That's a good one. I could see that.
Now I want to also see Bruce Campbell just belt something out.
Just him out of place, his age, everybody else around him is in their 20s, but he's 60-year-old Bruce Campbell, just still Ash.
I just kind of picture him like in an Elvis get-up too for some reason, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go with Scream, honestly. It honestly kind of feels like I could border that already, so why not just throw some musical numbers into it?
Scream musical?
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that one. That one's a fun one too.
Oh, a song from Stu about Billy, about how much he loves him. You pepper in a little bit of a love story between the two. Will they, won't they?
See, I was kind of thinking like Child's Play, but maybe like the second one with the girl too, you know? I think it would be fun to see Little Chucky do like musical numbers.
Oh, like a whole bunch of Little Chuckies coming out and doing dances together?
Yeah. Never mind.
No, don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud.
I fucking know.
That would be fun.
Do it.
A Megan musical would be really fucking good.
Oh, now you got me on a whole nother train. I'm thinking like, Nope, the musical. I'm just a cloud. Just a sad cloud.
Don't look me in the eye.
I can't follow up. That's gorgeous, guys. Bravo. Brava.
Thank you. Thank you.
Musicals.
Speaking of musicals, we've got, I almost said the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We've got the Little Shop of Horrors. We need to get shopping, guys. We kind of got off track a little bit, and I don't know. I think someone's saying they're hungry. You guys hear that?
I am hungry.
Oh, I'm fucking hungry.
Are you guys ready to be fed then?
Yes, please.
Feed me.
And now, our feature presentation.
I found the movie, and Snort got snacks, and we're back. And we just watched The Little Shop of Horrors. I guess I want to start off. I won't use a temperature gauge, so to speak, but we'll see your watering level with this movie.
Oh, wow.
Are we feeling sprouted and full, or are we feeling droopy and dying in the pot right
oh,
now?
Oh, my friend, guys? I am moist.
Yeah,
oh,
you
gosh.
Are. I love when you glisten. Well, Snore, how do you follow that up?
Okay, well, do we just want my full review right now?
I mean,
are you going to make a blanket statement for this one like I did last week?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I liked this movie. I think it's a good movie, a well-made movie. I don't think it hits for me. Like, there's some fun things, but I've got some issues with it. And the songs, because we're in theater camp, the songs are good, not great.
What?
What?
That is blasphemous.
I don't know.
What?
That's my opinion, man.
Almost maybe a theater camp war crime.
Oh, no.
Wow, we just put the fire out.
Put Snort in the fucking brig, man.
I don't know. I just, there's some good ones in there, but like, I'm
there's
not.
There's some. You cannot come off of HSM and praising, and then come into LSH. That's what we call Little Shop of Horrors. And go, well, there's some good. No, they're all bops. Every single one of them is a fucking bop in this movie.
Like, if these songs are in a playlist or something, I'll listen to it, but I'm not going to the soundtrack. That's where I stand.
Hmm.
Once again, pew, pew.
God dang.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
I guess I'm just curious to see along this, like, reviewing journey, which ones hit and which ones don't. At this point, I couldn't guess which ones you liked. Since you came on so strongly against, I feel like.
I'm not hating or anything, you know? I do like it. I just don't love it.
See, okay, you say that, but I don't know. Some of the statements just feel like they've got that that sass behind them. Like,
that's just me.
I don't know. I'm having a big, like, question of taste.
You guys are just shaking your heads at me right now.
Okay, you know, if you just came into just this movie and said those things, I would give you benefit of the doubt. But after last week, no. Credibility dashed to the ground.
Maybe that's what it is. Is like, if we hadn't watched High School Musical last week, it could have been anything else, and then you came at us with these opinions. Okay. Okay.
No, when did we start comparing fucking movies, guys? We didn't get, oh my god. You guys have made me watch so many bad things, and I've never, like, criticized your taste in something else.
Whoa.
Because
whoa,
you guys no, like
okay,
weird
I'm sorry,
shit.
I'm sorry. I just thought, like, I knew your musical taste and, like, that it was more of a classic kind of feeling, and something like this would obviously hit. That's where I'm, like, getting confused. Because this is such a classic, like, operatic, like, if you write musical in the dictionary, one of these playbills is next to it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think it is good music. I'm just not going to go back and listen to it. Like, on my own, completely by itself.
I'm just wondering if, like, your movie musicals, you like them different from your stage musicals. Because this had a very stage musical feel to it.
But that's the parts that I like. I don't know. I just don't like, I don't know. The song's just it. Okay, my real problem here is the girl's voice. That's what's that. Let's get the elephant on the room. That's my fucking problem.
Okay, even as a fan of this movie, I can't fault you there.
Honestly, I'm not even kidding. If her voice wasn't like that, I would probably like this movie and the music way more.
Like, her singing voice, she can hit some great notes, but
when
even
she
that,
does,
she's still got the accent in it the entire time, and I do agree with you there. I will give you that 100%.
Okay. That's my thing. If it wasn't for her voice, I would probably like this a lot more. That's the best way to describe it, how I feel right now.
I don't disagree with either of you. I mean, it's one of those things where I like the movie enough to where I don't let it get to me at this point, I don't think. Have that nails on a chalkboard kind of effect at times? Sure. It still will get me. But I do think, like you said, Dan, just the overall singing. I mean, she does some of the best singing in this whole movie. Then for that alone, I can, I'll just put up with it, you know.
Yeah, I do think my memory of this song, Suddenly Seymour, is different than the actual, like for some reason in my head when I listen to it, like on a soundtrack or something, it doesn't sound, the accent doesn't sound so pronounced. I think it's just in contrast with the speaking parts that it really throws me.
Because half the movie of her just talking, and then you get that song, so it's easy to be like, no, it's definitely still there.
You can't separate the two at that point.
Do we know anything about why, like, is that that actress's voice? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, that is her voice.
It's a little different, but it's pretty close to that.
It's definitely exaggerated a little bit, but that's, throughout her career, that's been her voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but no thank you. And I think I have an annoying voice.
I think she was also in the stage production of this, if I'm not mistaken. I think she was one of those, like, players.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
It makes total sense. 100%. Okay, well, now that we got that out of the way.
I just had to get all of that off my chest.
I guess let's take a trip to Skid Row, which is where this whole movie is set. And right off the bat, you can tell this doesn't seem like the best place. A little dingy, a little gross. It's got some issues. This is where we get the intro on, our main players. Obviously, we start with our beloved Seymour, who is a little clumsy. He's, dropping a shelf, causing him a mess. He has his boss, Mr. Mushnick, who does not like how clumsy he is. And you also get, for the sake of this, we'll say Audrey 1. We get Audrey 1, and we start off seeing that she has a black eye, so automatically, we know it's not a good situation.
No, things are bad down on Skid Row.
I mean, I would assume so.
It's Skid Row.
Yeah.
Badoop.
Speaking of Badoop, we also get, we'll call them the Motown girls, which are just phenomenal throughout this whole entire movie.
Oh, I love them. I love them so fucking much in this.
Maybe my favorite part of the entire movie is them. They are great.
I figured you'd really like their outfits every time. Yes, they were different.
I love them.
And as they show up, this is where we get our first musical number with our Skid Row Downtown song. And I mean, guys, to me, this is, Snort, maybe not you, Dan, to me, this is a banger. The girls nail it. I mean, Moranis, when he starts, belting it out, he's talking about some real stuff. I mean, always been poor. Life is kind of full of depression. It's just the status quo. I mean, you kind of feel for him there.
Oh, yeah. Great fucking scene. The choreography and just like the pass, the shots, just throughout it, the way that it moves around, it somehow feels stage to screen very well.
I will say, I like this song.
Love to hear it, because this is definitely one of my favorites. And to touch on what you said, Dan, it's just the production of it all. I mean, I listened to the soundtrack all day today in preparation of this, but seeing it on the screen and seeing everything move together and, all the people in the streets begin to belt in and watching it all just unfold, it's kind of a magical experience.
See, I kind of wish, if there was more of that, bigger kind of, musical numbers, maybe I would like the music more also.
Yeah, I was thinking that actually towards the end of it, how in High School Musical, there was a bunch of like group musical and dance numbers, whereas this one, there wasn't really a lot of them.
Maybe I'm going to learn about my own musical taste through this journey.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you're discovering yourself.
Yeah, maybe I like big production musicals.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, speaking of a big production that honestly kind of starts as a small production, now we have to intro the maybe the other star of the show, Audrey 2.
Oh, another one of my favorite songs in this movie is Rick Moranis's description of how he got the Audrey.
I think I'm indifferent to that song.
Why? What makes you indifferent?
I don't know.
I feel like you gotta give us something here.
I don't know. I'm just indifferent. I think Rick Moranis is just makes me feel indifferent.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Wow.
No, this is not the time for that.
No. Uncalled for snort.
Have I become completely unhinged in this episode?
I think so.
You're gone.
You're gone. I'm getting the sense that Audrey 2 wouldn't draw you to the store in the sense that it did for Christopher Guest, who pops up also in the scene, too.
No, I would. I love plants. Like, it looks awesome.
You love plants. You love musicals. You hate this one. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just as confused.
Does it help if our plant's origin is legitimately from a total eclipse of the sun? Does that entice you at all?
Ba-doop.
Because for $1.95, it could be yours.
Wow.
That's all Seymour pays for
this.
Which, for inflation, I think it comes out to almost $3 in today's world. So
I'm telling you.
Still a steal.
Exotic plants are fucking expensive. That is a deal.
Not down on Skid Row.
Oh, no.
Well, what we come to find out based on Christopher Guest alone, who just is a very high-paying customer and wants to double his order, Audrey 2 appears to be a pretty big hit just by placing it in the window. Everybody's flooding into Mushnick's, and this is like an economic high here at Mushnick. They're just slinging plants left and right. Everybody wants to see the attraction of Audrey 2.
See, when your dream fantasy home later on in another song is a 12-inch TV, a strange plant in the window is like the goddamn circus coming to town.
Yeah.
Even if it's on Skid Row, though?
Ba-doop.
But also, too, I mean, think about like how dark and gritty and grimy Skid Row is, and there's just that little splotch of color in the window.
Yeah, I guess maybe they, like, I don't know. Maybe they have to walk by there. How do they know about it?
Well, word travels fast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When there's nothing exciting going on, I mean, something as exciting as Audrey 2 will spread like wildfire. Hmm. It gives people a reason to keep going in Skid Row, you know? We also kind of learn in this whole, you know, customer frenzy that, you know, our Audrey number one has a date with what sounds like an abusive dentist. I don't know.
Yeah, this guy's a piece of shit.
In passing before you meet him, you just hear nothing but negative things. But we'll get to him in a little bit. And from here, we enter our sweet little Grow For Me song, another Rick Moranis banger, snort, and a different non-banger for you, maybe?
Yeah, correct.
But I mean, if you listen to the song, I mean, by all accounts for a normal plant, he sounds like the perfect, like, plant father. He's doing everything right on all accounts.
Oh, yeah, he's a great plant dad.
Yeah, I will give him that. I appreciate it.
See, what I appreciated was this was also the first scene where you saw the animatronic.
Yes, it starts to move a little bit.
Moving, and you see like the beauty and the delicateness of this thing that they've made.
It's so cute when it's like small, too. I love it.
And the scene where, at the end of Grow For Me, where he leaves the basement and the thing starts growing.
Kind
of
sprouts in the can.
I don't know how they did it. I still don't know how they made the head get bigger. And like it's perfect. It's a perfect physical effect.
I love like everything like about the set, the animatronics, everything about that movie is like perfection, I feel like. So I'm not hating. There, like I said, there are great things about it.
We'll take them where we can get them. But it's also in this song that we start to learn that, well, Audrey too has a different kind of hunger, and there's only really one way to help Audrey too live, and it's a little bit of blood.
What would you do if you realized a plant needed blood to live?
I don't know. Like, how much do I love plants?
I don't know. I love plants, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
I just have to interject and say, you love plants. I want to say that I love plants. But if you do a quick scan right now at the plants in this house, there's no way. There's no way Audrey 2 would live. Look at the plant in the corner behind you.
You should be singing some "Please Grow to Me" to that motherfucker over there.
Okay, you called out the one dead plant in here. I want it to be on record that there are a lot of thriving plants here.
There are.
Okay,
there are.
So if there's ever Audrey 2 attacks in the future, let it be known that Snort does have thriving plants within her care and should be spared from becoming food.
Thank you.
On the record.
Dun dun. I don't know if I have any actual legal action, but there you go. So now that we kind of get a little more sense of Audrey 2, we head to the radio station because it seems like Seymour has to almost do like a press tour for what he has unearthed to get some customers, maybe down to Mushnick's.
Yeah, he's like the talk of the town now. So he's got to go out there and he's got to like do the press tour and the junkets and meet the people. Because he's the face of Mushnick's, right?
Right. Well, he's beginning to be. And what a great term to use. He is a big dog, but who would have thought that he was going to run into an even bigger dog? Mr. John Candy just fucking being maybe one of the best radio DJs.
Wow, that was intense.
Oh, yeah. That was full John Candy unleashed right there on the screen for 35 seconds.
And it served its purpose. He took over the movie, and I was like, I'm good enough with that. That's great.
There's goddamn Manning who planned this movie, and John Candy just stole the fucking scene.
But also, too, what was kind of, like, weird about this whole scene is just, like, the waiting room with, there was, like, a random ventriloquist nun with a saxophone? I don't know what was going on here.
And I think that old lady had some weird demon book that was, like, tied up in chains.
Yeah, the locked up book? Yeah, definitely some demons.
So now that we have the word out a little bit better on Audrey 2, we're going to go back to Audrey 1. And now this is where we're going to enter the song Somewhere. I think I wrote this down wrong. Somewhere to Green?
Somewhere Green.
Somewhere Green. I have an extra 2 in there for some reason. Where we get Audrey 1.
Somewhere That's Green.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We get Audrey 1 beginning Somewhere That's Green after we kind of get her explaining, once again, how bad her dentist boyfriend is.
Well, I mean, we know where Snort's blanket statement is on this.
Worst song in the movie.
I'm going to agree with her on that one. I think it's a sweet song, like, given the context of the movie and the way that, you know, the fantasy that she builds.
Yeah, yeah.
Dancing around and having the, you know, the fucking American dream that's not Skid Row. But I will agree because it's not one where she belts the fuck out of anything. And because of the vocal issues we discussed earlier, I'll agree it's the most tedious to get through out of the entire movie.
Yeah, the note I actually had for this was, this is where Snort visually tightened up a bit, kind of cringed the second she started really going. And I don't disagree. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just, this could have been one to leave out. I do appreciate the production of it, though. This one almost felt like the most stage-like to me with all the backdrops and how it kept changing. So I did appreciate that. I thought it brought a cool like vibe to it all.
Yeah.
And then one of maybe my favorite parts of it is how it pans instantly back, like the perspective is from Skid Row and things get instantly dark again. It's a nice slap in the face to that nice reality she thought she was having.
Yeah, the transitions in this movie to go from like the musical to the next scene are very good. I feel that the pacing of it, whereas, and I hate comparing things to High School Musical, but there's a lot of dialogue-y parts between the songs in High School Musical.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, there was very short dialogue and the music continued through it generally, or it kind of flowed together a little bit more like a soundtrack.
Well, and I think that's where the Motown girls come in the most, you know?
Yeah, like, they really keep everything connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even after this, I think we get another song by them. They're just killing it on a rooftop. And it's just a quick little thing, and it just keeps the movie just floating along at a like you said, a really good pace, Dan. But after all this, we finally get to meet the man. We get to meet this dentist guy that we keep hearing so much trash about.
Ooh, this fucking guy.
Mr. Steve Martin is finally here, folks.
Okay, I know he's bad. He's a shit person. The worst. But I fucking love him in this movie. He's so good.
He's so bad yet so good.
I think his dentist song, I think is my favorite song of the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I can bang with that. That's a fucking good song.
It's a bop for sure.
And I obviously just in my head compare him to Eddie from Rocky Horror, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's that character. But yeah, he serves his purpose, and he's so good at it.
And they both get eaten.
Exactly. Yeah,
they get their comeuppance.
Eddie didn't deserve his.
Well, I don't know. Feed me. So now that we finally get a sense of what this guy's all about, Seymour has finally been in his presence and sees kind of how much of an a-hole he really is. And this is a great shot to see, is because now you're rooting for Seymour even harder. To be able to somehow, I don't know, get the dentist out of the picture. Maybe, maybe not. After those two meet, we have learned also that Audrey 2 has grown a little bit bigger and getting a little bit hungrier now.
Yeah, the little bit of blood's not really, like, pulling it anymore.
Yeah, and Rick Moranis' fingers are covered in bandages.
Yeah, he's maybe the one true blood donor in Skid Row. He's really doing it. But it's also in the scene that we kind of see Audrey 2 get a little bit smarter and try to like wheel and deal a little bit with Seymour. Like, hey, you know, you keep feeding me and I can make all your wildest dreams come true. Well, whatever it is, you say it. I'm the plant for you, essentially.
Like a fucking plant genie.
He's kind of blackmailing him, though.
Who, Seymour or?
The plant. Because he's like, yeah, you have to bring me people to eat. Like, it was threatening.
Yeah, he was going to, like, but they both got on the same page. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
At first, Seymour's like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that kind of shit. But then at the end of the song, they're like, oh, we're doing this.
Well, and it helps that you get the dentist driving away. And it's just kind of like, remember that asshole? He seems like a good meal to have.
Yeah, because Audrey, too, is sassy.
Well, how do we all get when we're hungry, you know?
Yeah, she needs Snickers.
And now that we kind of have our eyes on the prize as the dentist being the one that, you know, needs to be eaten, we get a quick little Bill Murray cameo because we're heading back to the dentist office, which, snort, I can't imagine that this was your thing.
Steve Martin saved it for me, but I'm not here to kink shame at all.
But...
Why was this in the movie? I don't get it.
He just wants to be a freaky little mouth boy. Let him be.
Why? Why is it in the movie?
I don't know the like fucking motivation for the writing of it, but I do know that it threw Steve Martin off his game because he's like, why isn't this guy screaming in pain? I think it was to get us to the frustrated scene where he would pull Seymour into the chair.
Well, because you think, you know, about Steve Martin. What is... It's going to sound weird to say, but what gets him off? I mean, it's inflicting pain. So what is the only thing that could stop him dead in his tracks? Someone who gets off by a little bit of pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, I found it extremely funny.
It was. It was just not what I expected in this movie. We took a weird turn for a bit.
Just out of left field.
Yeah. And then it was like done. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a little weird that you've got this musical movie about a monster plant from outer space that wants to eat people. And then all of a sudden it's like, I hope you know a little bit about BDSM, everybody. Let's take a break from the singing and make some really in-fucking jokes.
I mean, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of just like sexual prowess.
It's like
going
energy
on.
Going on. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very horny movie.
It's yeah. A very thirsty. Feed me.
Between Audrey 1, Audrey 2, the dentist, Rick Moranis, fuck everyone.
Everybody's fucking.
I mean, Mushnick with money, it counts. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So while we got two guys getting each other off, beaching each other off, who the fuck knows what they're doing in that room? Sneaky Seymour comes in because we got one mission and we gotta feed Audrey too. At this point, Bill Murray, you gotta go. Steve Martin has had enough of your shit. Seymour, you're ripe for some pain. Get your ass in here. But this is kind of where the tables turn a little bit, and Steve Martin has got a little high on his own supply. A little too good.
To be fair, he was going to assault Seymour.
You don't feel bad. Yeah, you don't feel bad for him. I mean, for somebody who has, you know, such pleasure inflicting pain, it just kind of felt like the best culmination. Like, you did this to yourself, pal. Sorry, but not sorry. Like, when he looks at Rick Moranis, who's holding a gun, and just like, are you going to save me? It's like, clearly not. So obviously, Seymour lets the dentist die, and it's feeding time. I mean, Audrey too gotta get theirs, you know.
But you gotta chop, chop, chop.
Oh yeah. Well, can we talk about him dragging the fucking body off of apparently a fucking subway or something?
Totally normal. In Skid Row, no one's gonna bat an eye to that.
Badoop.
Well, that's what I found so funny. It was just like, to touch on like Audrey too being hungry and finally being fed, like. You've been dying to eat this whole time. He did drag this body all across Skid Row. The meal is prepared right there for you, but I like it chopped up. Like what the fuck, Audrey 2?
Audrey 2 is putting Seymour in his place, letting him know who's boss.
You think it's a Dommy situation? Are we back to BDSM stuff?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm buying into it.
For sure.
Unfortunately, though, for our poor Seymour. Someone's lurking in the shadows. Mr. Mushnick, he sees it all.
Oh, yeah, he's sneaking around.
But after this all kind of unravels a little bit, the next morning rolls around, and all of a sudden, some police are sniffing around, because obviously the dentist is missing, and, well, there's a lot of root canals to be done. And Seymour's sweating a little bit. He knows he did wrong. He doesn't know if anybody saw him, but he's got that guilt to him. And, I mean, yeah, he killed the dentist, but I feel bad for him. I didn't want him to get in trouble.
No, he's Seymour. He's suddenly Seymour. Did you want Seymour to get his comeuppance? You were on the dentist side. You'd like to do something best.
Yeah, I would like the dentist's death avenged. No, I can't say that. He's a worm beater. Like, fuck him.
Thank you.
It's just Steve Martin, though. So I'm like, oh, man, he's funny.
You have to remember, he is bad. But as Dan did say, it is suddenly Seymour, because who's there to pick him back up? It's Audrey 1. And this is where we get it. And in my opinion, one of the best songs of the soundtrack, the heartfeltness of it all. We finally are getting the culmination of these two becoming one. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. And this is the one where you really get to see her, like, hit her fucking high end.
What song are we talking about?
Suddenly Seymour.
Suddenly Seymour.
Yeah, I did like this one. Once they were, like, going, you know, then I liked it.
Oh,
I
was
like,
okay. What do you mean when they were going?
Well, they start making out. I made a comment while we were watching it that they hit that note at the end for so long and go straight into making out. Like, they can't breathe at all.
Like two fishes on glass, I'm sure.
What was that noise? Do it again.
I was sucking in.
That was more demonic. Oh my god. What is happening?
Oh my god. We're a disaster.
Somebody check for a pulse.
All the time.
So we get this wondrous shot of suddenly Seymour, only to be brought back into the harsh reality that, well, once again, Mushnick is a detective and he's gotta drop that bomb on Seymour. Hey buddy. Mr. Axe-slinging slasher, I fucking saw everything. But I'm a wheeler and dealer, so we can maybe come to terms. Maybe you don't have to go to jail, Seymour.
Yeah, just get the fuck out of town for a little bit, and I'll watch the plant for you.
There's always a caveat in these deals.
Fair deal.
You're running? You're leaving the plant behind?
Yeah.
Okay, do you hear that? Other plants in this house?
Hey, wait! I live here too. I don't need this
you
energy.
You wouldn't be stuck and enslaved to this murdering plant? No, fuck that! Get out of Skid Row. That's your free ticket.
Yeah, but don't we know at this point that fucking Seymour is a sub? So he's not gonna leave his dommy mommy.
And because of that, guys, it's supper time.
It's supper time.
Audrey, too, gets a nice mushnik meal.
Yeah, doesn't need that shit chopped up.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. What the fuck?
Okay, and yeah, you're still going to defend Seymour here? No, that man helped him when he was a child, and he's just going to feed him to this fucking plant.
So what, you're saying that Seymour's like a co-conspirator in all this?
Yes, he deserves something.
Okay, I like how you say that man helped him when he was a child, but this man fucking Oliver Twist enslaved this kid.
He lived off like bread crust.
2 Sundays a month off. Living in the basement on a cot until his 40s. The man's a virgin, clearly.
He probably even like padlocked it so he couldn't get out at night. I would like to think that Mushnik deserved it, unfortunately. Sorry, Snort.
Well, maybe. I haven't put that much thought into this.
Well, because of all this, Seymour becomes the talk of the town. He's taking that fame to the top. He's getting phone calls about being, what, on Time magazine, Life magazine, everything.
See, I didn't understand this, because it's like, did he get that fame because Mushnik was now out of the picture? Was Mushnik holding him back the whole time?
And also, why is the police not questioning both him and Audrey One now if two people connected to them are missing?
Two fucking people.
Two.
These are some bad fucking police, but they are down on Skid Row.
I mean, have you guys seen Audrey too? That's a good enough distraction for me. I'd be focused on that too. But also too, what Seymour kind of starts to find out, it's not worth it to live so large. He just seems very uncomfortable and doesn't like it. And he really, more or less, just wants to take Audrey One and just kind of dip out and leave and go live a nice, happy life together.
Get off Skid Row.
Badu.
And what better way to do that than just to get hitched? Take care of one last business deal, get the bag, and roll out. But in order to do that, we got to gather our things. So what does Seymour do? He tries to be a little sneaky snake again. And he goes back to the floral shop and fucking wakes Audrey too.
See, I was thinking, like, he brought the bodies in through the back door and shit. Like, there's a back door. Why'd he go out in front by the plant?
Where he knows it's just actively there.
That's what I'm saying.
So by waking Audrey 2 up, to nobody's surprise, it's hungry, need to feed. So Seymour thinks, you know what, I don't have time for this shit, let me just go to the meat market. Seems easy enough. But at this point in time, we also learn how powerful and smart Audrey 2 has become, because we're making phone calls, guys. Did you spill the water again?
I'm sorry.
Wow. Ba-doop. I was thinking during this scene, I actually analyzed a little bit about this. Because there were two phones on the counter behind Mushnik.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Audrey 2 went into the fucking thing and took the fucking quarter and went over to the payphone. And okay. I was like, why would it go to the payphone? There's two perfectly good, like, regular human phones over there. And then I got the thought that maybe Mushnik, anytime Seymour would have to make a call, he would be forced to use the payphone.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
So the learned behavior of the Audrey 2 plant was that when you make a phone call, because the guy that was feeding me, my sub, was making calls on that phone, that's the only phone you can use. Because that one just rings in. That's the only one that goes out.
I think it's because Audrey 2 is a dom and it's going to take the hard way to do something to flex.
Oh, it was just a good way to use those bondage fucking vines. Wrap them around something nice and tight.
Well, Dom and sub be damned, we get Audrey Inception. Because Audrey 2 calls Audrey 1. Seymour is just taking too long, and we're just going to feed on Audrey 1. It seems like the easiest option at this point.
Yeah, Audrey 2 also knows something's going on with Seymour at this point. Like, all right, this motherfucker's up to some shit.
How do you think Audrey 2 knew Audrey 1's phone number?
It's another learned behavior, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking. Or it's because she's a mean green mother from outer space.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. And not only is she a mean green mother from outer space, she's kind of a deadly one. Because this is where Seymour shows back up to save the day, as Audrey 1 is just kind of flailing. The legs are flailing outside of Audrey 2. Shit has finally hit the fan. What are we going to do? And this is where I do need to bring something up. Dan, you probably are aware of this. I'd like to think. This is where we're kind of entering essentially the ending of the movie. However, this was not how the movie was supposed to end. What we saw tonight was not the original ending of this movie.
What?
Yeah.
I presume, Dan, you have seen it.
Oh, yeah, I know this, yes.
So in this scene, you know, we get our hero, Seymour. You know, he gets the building dropped on him. And you think that Audrey 2 would win. But he's our hero. He busts that hand out. And he essentially electrocutes, what, Audrey 2 into, like, soil? Just kind of done.
Just poofs her.
Yeah. I did think it was dumb that he survived that.
Yeah, well, and he's our hero, and we deserve the hero's journey. However, when this movie first came out, the test screenings were phenomenal. People loved the shit out of it. They had one problem, though, and that was the ending. The ending of this thing, the original ending of this thing, had a completely different outcome. Our hero does not survive.
Hell yeah.
Matter of fact, Skid Row gets motherfucking taken over by all the plants.
What?
All the mean green bodies. We missed out on that? We did. However, what if I told you, Snort, we can go to YouTube and watch it.
They, like, filmed it like that?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kicker to all this. It got cut out because of the test scores not working out for it. The scene itself cost $5 million. They wasted $5 million for the studio to go, we need the audience to go home happy instead of the plant takeover, essentially.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if I remember correctly, Dan, it ends with the Statue of Liberty and the whole, what, the end title card?
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, it takes over the entire, like... monuments and shit like that.
It's like Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think at the very end, it looks like one of the Audreys pops out of the screen. Like it looks really cool.
Have you guys seen? So you both have watched it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which do you prefer? That one, the alternative, or the one that we watched just now?
I like the darkness of the alternative one personally.
Yeah. After rewatching this today, I'm going to agree with that. I think. They maybe could have just done it better. Now that you know that, it almost seems like this was just like a rush, like, fuck, what do we do? Kind of like way to end it, to give you the hero's like last hurrah, like, look what I did, I saved the day. The darkness of the other one just felt, it was still kind of, I don't want to say like goofy, but it was like, it was just kind of cool.
It was more fitting with the tone of the movie itself.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should watch that and review the movie with that ending instead.
Just start it all over, cut it off with about 11 to go, and go to YouTube. But, I mean, that's pretty much it. In the version we got the happy ending, cut back to, you know, the nice, what, 50s aesthetic of the bright colors. We finally get the nice dream home. And maybe little baby Audrey 3, we'll never know. We'll never know.
Yeah, like, they have the little baby plant outside their house, like... I know this is, like, from a play and everything, but do they make, like, a second one of these?
No.
I don't think so.
No. If they did, it was straight to, I don't know, Betamax.
Hopefully straight to
Netflix. I didn't know if that was part of, like, the actual play or if that was, like, movie part to set up, like,
I believe the actual play ends how the actual movie was supposed to.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I feel like, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Well, campers... That was The Little Shop of Horrors. We did it. Snort, you at least like it?
Not love it, though.
Not love it. I knew she was going to emphasize it.
Well, I loved it, John. Thank you for putting it on here because I really needed something classic to get me back into theater camp, being an old theater guy.
I agree. It was nice to revisit this. It's like I said earlier, it's been a while, and I think I had maybe the most fun with it. In any viewing, it was a blast from the past, so to speak, and I might just go out and buy the soundtrack on vinyl. Fuck, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I definitely felt like I was treading the boards on this one.
Well, now that I've gotten my episode out of the way, I think it's only fair of me to pass on over the camp crown to Dapper Dan.
All right, guys. Well, I do have something fun in store for us. I, too, have picked a campfire spooky musical.
Wow.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
This one, I think, Snort, you might like a little bit more because there are over-the-top dance choreography numbers involving groups.
Cool.
There is some subtle racism.
Oh, my.
Sorry, not so subtle racism.
Oh, no.
Extreme Why do you racism. Think I'm going to like that?
You're not going to like that. That was like an asterisk, just like a... I was trying to make like a good news, bad news, good news sandwich.
I need you to clarify that then.
He was just trying to give you your news very fair and balanced all at once.
Oh my God.
That was like a, there is, not like a, oh, you're going to love this part. I apologize.
Fuck.
I feel like it's better to know that going into it than be like, surprise, there was a lot of racism.
It is from the mid-80s and very low budget, but it's going to be a fucking hell of a ride. And it is very, very underknown.
Well, what is it?
Next week, we are going to be watching Nudist Colony of the Dead.
I mean, with a title like that, can we just put it on like now?
Excuse me?
That sounds like you've piqued my interests.
I don't want to disappoint Snort twice in a row in one evening.
What? What is?
Did
what
I,
is this
did I just
movie?
Break your brain?
You said so many words I've never heard put together before.
Neither had I until I watched Nudist Colony of the Dead. This is a horror musical about a haunted ex-nudist colony site where a Christian camp goes to set up. Until the nudist zombies come out. And it's a musical. And it's on the verge of, they were trying to make something bad. And it was bad. And it was somehow good, but it was also bad, but it was also good.
This is a real movie?
This is a real film.
Okay.
I mean, holy shit. I think I'm literally dead by the description. That sounds like some top tier cinema, minus the racism. Just want to throw that out there.
Silent Jonathan, you have no idea as to what is going to be going on here.
You're right, I don't, but I mean, fuck, strap me in, bury me alive. I don't give a shit. I'm ready to run.
Let's go.
I mean, I guess if you would like to follow along next week with our theater camp journey.
Make sure to follow along on Instagram, TikTok, and I'm still calling it Twitter, @THCinemaPodcast. Make sure to go give us 5 stars, give us a like, a review, a subscribe, everything, everywhere.
So that's going to do it for us this week. And if you see 3 mean green stoners from outer space asking to be fed due to the munchies, come on over and say hi. That might be us. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was the most Snort thing I ever fucking heard in my life.
I think this helps us, Dan. This helps maybe her enjoyment level for this movie, hopefully.
I'm just gonna be fucking confused the whole time now. We'll be right back.
the air conditioning deed has been deed done?
We're all in this.
No,
together.
Stop. Please stop. Snort. Please stop.
I'm sorry. I just had flashbacks when we set up like this.
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
Whoa.
America.
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 Fuck yeah. Stick to the status quo. That's the one you guys hate the most.
I fucking hate so much about that movie.
Go Wildcats.
You gotta
go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats.
We gotta get our what's and the where's.
Gotta get your head in the game. Go Wildcats.
Awkward twirl, point to myself in the mirror, wink, wink.
Boy band pout.
Oh, the angst. No, we're done talking about that movie.
Yeah, yeah. moving on.